Welcome to the Manufacturing the Future podcast, the show designed to help you future-proof your manufacturing operations. Each episode features interviews with innovative manufacturing leaders and subject matter experts who share their insights and best practices about the technology that can empower you to streamline operations, prepare your organization for what lies ahead, and continue to keep our world turning. I'm your host, Carrie Jordan, Vice President of Product Management at Epicor. Now, for today's episode. Hi, everyone, and thank you for listening. Welcome to our show where we explore the power of technology to transform manufacturing. This is a special episode. In May of 2023, we recorded a live session in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay Conference Center. As you know, full disclosure, I work for Epicor, which sponsors this Manufacturing the Future podcast. Epicor is a software company that is serving the world's hardworking industrial businesses in manufacturing, distribution, building, supply, automotive, and retail. This live session that we recorded is from Insights. This is our annual customer conference where we get over 4,000 attendees together for training, networking, sharing ideas. Basically, it's what we do on this podcast. So we thought we'd share a session from that conference where I interviewed in front of a live audience, not one, but three leaders in manufacturing. And those guests were Purvesh Sheth, he's a controller at Pivotal Comware, Don Johnson, the ERP manager at Atlanta Attachment Company, and David Boyer, the president of Boyer Machine and Tool. We talked about their decision to use cloud-based technology to support the future of their businesses. Two out of the three, as you'll hear, talked about upgrading from on-premises systems to cloud-based solutions. You know, for many companies, especially those in manufacturing that are asset or capital-intensive businesses, many are comfortable managing hardware and servers on-site. But as you'll hear, over time, this generally becomes no longer cost-effective. Servers go end of life, or they need daily administration from highly constrained and highly skilled IT professionals who could otherwise be helping to drive the core of the business. You know, there are concerns too around managing backups appropriately or disaster recovery programs or antivirus, monitoring and threat detection and remediation for cybersecurity. There are also other needs that you'll hear, like wanting to incorporate advanced technologies like automation, robotics, AI, digital twin, or other 3D visualization technologies, even business intelligence applications to replace spreadsheets or digital content management solutions to replace paper. And to bring on these kinds of technologies and on-premises or legacy ERP simply can't scale or connect to modern APIs. So we'll share with you the conversation we had with our panelists. You'll hear references to some Epicor products like Kinetic, which is our premier cloud-based manufacturing ERP solution, Grow, which is our recently acquired full-stack business intelligence tool, and others as well. But mostly you'll hear real-world stories about leadership and technology in manufacturing. Also, we did invite the audience to ask questions. So for your sake, as our listeners, I repeat the audience questions. All right, here we go. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you so much to my panelists. We're really looking forward to talking with you about that journey to cloud, why they chose to move. We'll share migration experience or their story of how they, you know, chose to move to the cloud. And as I mentioned, we are recording for the podcast. So if you haven't yet, I definitely encourage you to listen in. It's a cool podcast. All right. So let's go ahead and get started. So I'm going to do a quick introduction of myself. And cool. I managed to kill it already. That's okay. I know myself. So I've been at Epicor now for 6 years, and I live in Richmond, Virginia. I run a team of product managers that are focused in on cloud architecture, the SaaS experiences that arise from running in the cloud, such as the upgrade cadence, the different packages actually, Select, Signature, and Enterprise, Life Sciences Cloud, and U.S. Government Cloud. And I also have our cross-platform team. So those products that could be running, you know, with any industry ERP platform, they're also on my team as well. That would include things like QuickShip or e-commerce and, you know, the Grow product and CPQ. I don't want to spend too much time on myself because we're kind of short on time. So let's go over to, let's see who is, okay, what am I doing? I swear I've used a computer before. Yeah, I guess I'm hitting over. Aha, up and down. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So this is our list of panelists. Parvesh, would you please go first?
So name is Parvesh Eth. I work at Pivotal Comware. I'm the financial controller. I've been in manufacturing for over 25 years, mostly on the electronic side, heavily on the aerospace and defense side. This is my first job actually outside of aerospace, working in an engineering company. We manufacture a few products and our emphasis is on the design side, and we will eventually be outsourcing a lot of the manufacturing. A lot of our work is done in-house, but the work that's done in-house is primarily like R&D prototyping and things like that. Our product is basically a 5G repeater. So we market primarily to companies like AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile. Those are our main customers. And what we do is we take a 5G millimeter wavelength signal, which essentially means these are the 5G signals that are so fast that they actually compete with cable and fiber companies, and they can actually provide internet directly to your homes, in some cases faster than what landline cable providers can give. And our emphasis has been to go after high density units. That refers typically to commercial buildings that are multi-story, apartment complexes, condos, things like that. And our product is different for a few reasons. One is that when you look at what the providers, the network providers would do to try and mimic that, it would cost them a lot more money. Our product is about anywhere from a quarter to a fifth the cost of what they can do it for. And we can also deploy it within literally like a month, as opposed to what it takes them to do a new pole could take anywhere up to a year. So in addition to the cost benefit, which is pretty straightforward, there's also the time benefit for them to be able to deploy it quickly. And in addition to that, our product is a full service thing. So we start all the way from the design of helping them where to put it, all the way through giving them feedback on whether or not they placed it correctly and what tweaks they need to make and so forth. So just as an example, with our software, if you have a building that's five or six stories that are commercial, and then you have restaurants at the bottom, we can take our signal and focus it in the commercial areas during the day, and then the restaurant at the bottom. So that makes it a real nice thing for the network providers to be able to sell also. So that's a little bit about myself and our company.
Thank you so much. Thank you. All right. Next, we have Don.
Don Johnson. Started in 2012 working for Atlanta Attachment. I have a developer's background, and we were on a legacy system called Dataflow, and it's basically a Unix-based data system. And I was hired really to convert that data over to Epicor 9. So I spent about a half a year or a year just prepping the data. The data was very unorganized. I mean, USA, U.S.A, United States of America, just the country itself, we had to write like code to convert all that. So we converted over in 2013 to Epicor 9. Atlanta Attachment was established in 1969. It's a automation, bedding automation. We do sewing automation. A majority of our customers are Serta, Silly. We have some Purple customers as well. And we automate bedding equipment. So for the major manufacturer, we also do some apparel equipment as well as furniture and some of the auto. We're not doing as much, but we do auto fabric as well.
Okay, great. All right, David, please.
David Boyer, president of Boyer Machine. Family-owned business. My grandfather started it in 1945, so I'm third gen in it. We're CNC company doing contract machining for a variety of industries. Majority of what we're going to do is small parts, handheld, drop some, you can't find some. We'll do Swiss, five axis, mill turn, a variety of different materials as well. I started there right after school, went through multiple position starting at the bottom, still sweeping the floor now. It's the way it goes in a small company. So that's a little bit about us.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. All right. So we're going to go through questions. I think before we do that, though, I did just want to ask the audience, how many of you all are running Kinetic on premises today? Okay. Almost everybody. Is there anybody running cloud still or yet? Okay. Great. Do you want to come on up here? Kidding. All right. So would you mind sharing your story in terms of why did you decide to move to the cloud? What happened in your business that made you decide to make that change? And if you could talk through that effort or that initiative, how long it took. And David, did you want to get started?
Yeah. I mean, the short version, we were in six for a long time. I don't have an IT background, but I had to work on that part of the company as well. You know, and I'd keep coming to insights and they'd keep talking about everything that's going on. And finally, we jumped. I think we went to nine and then we stayed at nine. And then, you know, all these updates. And then we went to 10. Well, the problem was I'm not an IT person. So I couldn't keep up. I didn't know what all the steps were when they updated everything. So being a smaller company, it made sense that, you know, the next jump I was going to have to put in a different server. I was going to have to go SQL Server because we were running a Progress database. So since I'm not IT, we talked about it. We jumped to cloud. It didn't take long. I mean, about a weekend, they took our data. Monday morning, we were up and running. We were just in the cloud. From then, you know, now we're always staying up to date. Beforehand, we weren't. I was falling behind. I'd come here and say, hey, why don't we have that? You know, that'd be helpful for us. Well, that's because we're not up to date. You know, you're paying all that maintenance and you're still not up to date. Well, we're small. And that kept us from going there. You know, you have your updates along the way. You go play in the sandbox ahead of time if you want. Then you get your updates. So right now, I think they said tomorrow or the next day, we got another update coming. We'll be ready to go. And now we're up on their latest release. So for us, it's been very beneficial to stay up. We haven't really had a lot of problems. Those that we have, we've got quick resolution to. And it's just been a benefit for our company that I don't have to spend resources now to take care of something that they take care of for me.
Thank you. All right, Don, would you share your story?
So we were going through some IT audits. Disaster recovery was big for us since we have the Azure setup or SaaS servers all over the country, world. We could move past that. That was one big reason why we decided to go. We were purchased in 2016 by Hickory Springs Manufacturing. And this was kind of a surprise for us later that they were actually, now they're able to do the installs without connecting to the VPN. So that was kind of an accidental plus.
Nice.
You don't have to go through the firewall and you can install the cloud layer while they're in North Carolina. So that was kind of an added benefit. We talked about it for a couple of years, moving to cloud. And we just decided, you know, especially with the disaster recovery and some of the other items, I mean, we quick ship, everything is there. Now quick ship is there. ECM is all cloud now. So, you know, of course, the cost of equipment, the server costs, and hiring the consultants to maintain the servers, having to call them every day. So those are our core, probably our core.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay. Barbash, would you share?
Yeah, sure. So we went to cloud for the simple reason that we don't have an IT department. And it was pretty much me doing the whole thing. And I'm a financial controller, so I knew just enough to be dangerous, but nothing technical. And, you know, going on the cloud was kind of an easy transition for us because we were coming from our legacy systems. And when I say legacy systems, we had seven different systems that were not talking to each other. So we took all of that, went directly into the cloud. And it's been I've had no issues with it whatsoever. Whenever there has been an issue with something we needed addressed, you know, the Upper Core team has been really quick about dealing with it and so forth. So for us, it was mostly like a needs-driven thing where it's not just that we didn't have any other option. It was a good option for us.
Great. Okay, so this would be a question for anybody. But now that you are on the cloud platform, always current, just David, as you were saying, what has that opened up for you to be able to invest in terms of technologies for your business? I mean, you mentioned QuickShip, for example, for shipping, content management with ECM or DocStar. But is there any other technology that has, or you can even talk about those in particular now that you're on cloud that you're able to enable for your business?
Well, now that I'm not having to focus on maintaining servers, updating SQL Server, doing all that type of technical work, we were able to convert all of our Alltech stuff over to ECM, which we already had ECM, we just didn't have time. So now we actually have time to, you know, implement that. So we're dropping, you know, we're able to mix with some of the legacy in-house programs. Mm-hmm. He's dropping files and folders and ECM sucking it up and putting it in Epicor and the correct POs and invoices. We have that integration worked out really well.
So we integrated a few things being on the cloud. So we utilized Automation Studio, and we have two connections or two outside systems that we're using right now, Bill.com and Expensify. And both of them, Bill.com was a requirement that we had to keep only because we didn't have a way of making disbursements. There's a long story behind that, but we don't make disbursements by check or anything like that. Bill.com took care of all of that ever since we've been in business. So being able to integrate with that was a huge plus. We also kept Expensify because the employees, a lot of these were engineers and, you know, highly paid individuals who liked the interface that came with Expensify. Automation Studio allowed us to keep that. And so, you know, we were happy that we could do that. The other one that we're actually working on right now is the advanced requisition module from, I think it's Precise Business Solutions. And again, this was something where the requisition process in Epicor is probably okay, but we had all these complicated needs. And, you know, if you look at our approval matrix, you would think it's someone's science project, but that's what, you know, that's what the management team wants. And the ARM was able to accommodate that. So, you know, we've been pretty fortunate that these outside things were able to help us kind of keep things going.
Great. Great. David, did you want to share anything about that?
The only thing we have ECM. A lot of what we're going to do is out of the box on what we do. There are some things that we'll add to it, but majority of what we're going to do is out of the box.
And then when you get the upgrades and the updates, do you start using the new technology that gets delivered, like with the major upgrades?
Yeah, we'll get started right away. I mean, we'll read through the notes on what it was, if there's something that we have to change in our config somewhere or how the modules work. I know there's some good stuff that's coming out in the next release that's going to allow me not to bother your support department on something that takes you guys 20 seconds to do. Now I can do it myself.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited about that. But yeah, we'll take advantage of that stuff right away. And then coming here catches me up on what I didn't know, learning on our own.
Great. Okay, thank you. All right, so I want to take some questions from the audience because I don't want to run out of time. And this is really all about you to be able to get your questions answered. Question from the audience, are you all on the flex plan for your upgrade or do you just take the upgrade right away?
I am not on the flex plan.
I'm not.
I tried to be, but I made a mistake and didn't do it right. So we did try to flex the first one and I forgot I didn't do it right. But so we are not on flex either.
Another question from the audience, what is the process to configure the system if you want to do configurations?
So we haven't done it yet, but I've gone through the process of requesting it. So I think there's a group called CSG, I think, or something like that. And when we go to them, they'll usually put together a quote and say, okay, here's what it's going to take to do it. And then here's what the ongoing cost is going to be for maintaining it, you know, within the cloud and so forth. We did a quote one time and then decided not to go forward, but that was kind of the process.
Question from the audience. Let's say we have a facility and we want to make some business process changes to the system. How do I push it into Epicor? And do I need to get permission?
We have some of those BPMs and things that we have set up. We don't worry about it. I mean, it'll come over. I think we had one time where link or something was broke. We just redid the link and we were good to go. But we don't tell them what we have. It comes over and it joins and we're good to go.
We're doing C# on the smart client, I guess. So we have a couple of heavily customized screens and maybe a small fallout happened during the conversion. I really didn't have to focus that heavily on it. We're going to stay on the smart client for now and then transition over into the browser screen because the browser screens are getting so much better in the 2023 version. Not much fallout.
Question from the audience asked for more information here regarding the fallout.
It may be a code. So I had some code that fell out this last time, meaning that they identified something that I wasn't using. Yes, it was identified. I was using some code and it was kind of a hard ball. And I said, hey, that should have been a soft stop, but it at least forced me to go in and just come in out that code. Like that literally was the only thing that happened in this move from 2022 2023.1 that we're testing right now. So I was able to resolve it, fix it, you know, save it later, save it for the next round. So you just do the same thing.
Question regarding the testing process. Do you receive a list of the things that you need to test?
No, you have to have your own test routine. And so during that process, you got your own test routine that you create, make sure you're, because we, those heavily customized screens, you want to make sure those are working, as you know. So those are the ones I target first. So I went straight for those. If I had some failure, then I started, you know, if I had to reach out, they were great. You could reach out and get help. That's all free. So, yeah. I mean, unless you want them to modify your code, but I mean, if you wrote it, you could, you know, you could usually fix it.
I think testing is a big question. So thank you for sharing your testing. But is there anything else that you would add to your testing process, though, Don, that you do?
Just make sure you keep your everything documented. So I had a series of things that I was going to run through. So it was my playbook. So create your own playbook, run through your playbook each time. And then that way the dates don't affect you that much, because I kind of lost sight of the dates. Somebody had to send me a calendar on when this is about to change again. But once you get your dates and you know it's going to hit, you know, June 10th or whatever, you know, just make sure you run through your cadence, through your playbook, and no fallout. So, I mean, we've been in since December.
Thank you. I think it'd be good for all of us to share our testing. David, how do you test?
Well, we test by when it shows up. in live. I'm not gonna lie to you. We tried that Monday. My son's now working for me, you know, and he came through school with a little bit more computer background training. So he's testing more now beforehand than what we used to do. But honestly, before him, it was Monday morning. And if I had a problem where we couldn't print, call support, or put in a support ticket, next thing you know, we're printing it. Those are things that we're going to be able to take care of our own. And we've only had that a handful of times. And we've been on the cloud since 2017. So, you know, we're not new to the cloud. We've just continually, that's how comfortable we are with the cloud. Because when I looked at the computer, I mean, I got rid of 3 or 4 servers that I don't have to have anymore by going to the cloud. I don't have to maintain them. I don't have to replace them. And I don't have to do any testing. So I should. We'll start that. I mean, that's best practice. And if you had a lot of customization, I would. But we don't have a lot.
It's funny. When we were originally putting together this session, we had called it best practices for moving to the cloud. And we were like, wait a second. It's really about experiences, you know? And I think that's more, you know, genuine and helpful, to be honest. Okay, Purvesh, would you share?
Sure. So in our case, we had just gone live last November. So we still had our user acceptance test script. So the other person who was helping me with the implementation, he and I went through and looked at all the tests that were still relevant. Obviously, we learned a lot after we went live on which tests were relevant and which weren't, and we added a few. But we kind of leveraged heavily off what we did for the implementation, and we're using that as our script right now.
Question from the audience regarding upgrades, and does the pilot get upgraded first? We also have the configuration upgrade dashboard that you can use within the pilot environment when you're doing the testing. That's actually available on-premises as well. We enabled it for the on-premises system as well. So you could check that out to see what that would be like. Question from the audience. What would you have done differently to make your process smoother when you were moving to the cloud? Could you go back in time, and what would you tell yourself?
I don't know that I would have done anything differently. You know, we were in a lot of communications with Epicor along the way. I mean, one of our biggest thing was going from 6 to 9 and then to 10 because of how far we fell behind, and then trying to catch up and having the database converted and getting all that good stuff done. And to be honest, we actually tried one other time to move ahead. Problem was, I didn't devote enough time for my people to get up to speed and train and everything else. That was my fault. So we just fell off schedule, so we dropped it. The next time I learned, all right, we're going to devote enough time so everybody's up to speed on what we're going to do. They're ready to go. And then when we went to that weekend, you know, I was very nervous on Monday morning. We're just running. You know, now they have our data. It's all protected. They back. It's all out there. They handle all our data now. And it wasn't shortly thereafter I got rid of those servers. It was taking up space. And I got rid of it. So to me, it was a good transition. The whole part was being in constant communication with what's going to happen, not being an IT person, you know, what to expect. Some of your language is over my head. Break it down to my level so I understand what you're doing. No problem. They did a great job of that, but it was just talk.
That's great. Thank you. Don.
Email. Chatted about the email. Yeah. Remember, you're not emailing from within your firewall. And we went live and we hadn't tested. Really, all we had to do was send something to gmail.com or Yahoo. We were sending everything internally, so no failures. So the one failure that we had was the fact that the email is coming from cloud now. So it's not coming from inside of your firewall. So you had to use a different setup of Outlook or something else outside in the cloud world. You can't use that email, yeah, inside it.
Barracuda.
Yeah, good catch. Yeah.
So in my case, I think the question is a little bit NA because we went directly into the cloud. There's a lot of other things I screwed up and would fix, but not that one.
Great. Thank you.
Question from the audience regarding load time. What's the difference in load time from running on premises to running in the cloud?
I'll tell you, and I'll be totally honest with you, it was slow at the beginning. We put in redundant line and we sped that up. That was great. We were still slow and I was getting irritated. The whole problem that we found out, we were still running classic on the cloud. As soon as we went kinetic, there we took off because we were way back in Vantage, you know, so we've really taken the journey with them, you know, over 25 years or whatever. So once we realized, because I was disappointed, I thought I made a bad decision. Once we went kinetic, that solved the whole problem for us on our speed. And that, again, it was at one of these insights that they told me you need to try that. Because I told everybody at our work, I go, give me a list. Speed. Nope. I went back. I go, why don't you try updating and run kinetics like you're supposed to be running? Problem went away.
I remember that. And I remember that insights when you were having that problem.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I got everybody on that one. Yeah. Everybody knew I wasn't happy with that one. And that was the big switch. So no problems now.
We have some classic screens. So we had a small amount. We had a small drop in speed. Nothing substantial. It depends on what you're asking.
Yeah.
And we're working with Michael and Rich on this cloud architecture.
Would you talk about that actually, Don? Sorry, yeah. I meant to ask you.
They're giving us back more control. So they have this spinning up a different session, giving us a little bit more control for people like me that want, you know, to stop tasks and, you know, copy databases and stuff like that. So we tested all that
last week, right?
I was able to copy a database. That was way faster than when we were in-house, hour, I think, or less. And then the actual upgrade itself, too. So that's been fun test.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about this. So Don is a member of our Cloud Architecture Advisory Board. We've recently established it. Mike runs it here in close partnership, of course, with Matt on Cloud Ops. And so what this allows our customers to do, we're moving to the containers architecture in Azure Kubernetes, and this is going to allow many more self-service tools within the application itself. So you might hear, just as you're saying, like, you know, it takes some time to submit the cases in order to do a database, you know, copy. But now we're turning that over to you all so that you could just do it yourself. And it sounds like it's fast, which is great. Thank you for working with us on that. Good. Great. Yeah, self-service is coming with general availability 24.1 is the plan so far.
Audience question, what was it like during the implementation and that move? Were you running two systems concurrently for a period of time or did you switch it all over at once?
No, we went Big Bang.
Was it a good choice? Or did you feel like Big Bang was the right thing to do?
Well, they didn't fire me. No, I think it worked out fine. We were in a little bit of a different situation where we had all these disparate systems that weren't talking to each other. And so everyone was actually grateful to be able to do this. We still have some learning curves. And, you know, there's still people who were kind of surprised that, you know, like in the past, for example, someone could make an inventory transaction and it would have nothing to do with the financials because the systems were so far apart from each other. Now they do. And so they're learning a little bit. And, you know, we went through a big learning curve. It's gone down a little bit. But I don't think I would have done any differently because if we tried to parallel it, it would have been a ton more work. And I don't know that we would have got better results.
Can I ask you, what is your favorite part about running in the cloud?
Mine is I don't have to deal with any of the issues that I had to deal with. I mean, we'd have where somebody's computer gets stuck and I have to go to the server and then I'd have to fix something. I don't have that problem now. In the cloud, when I travel now, you know, I just get on my computer and I'm working, you know, I have all that data. We don't VPN. We don't have any of that other stuff, Splash Top. We just work, or I just work. So that's good and bad, but it gives me the luxury of not falling behind. And it gives me the luxury when I'm at work to focus on more of what I'm supposed to be doing versus the IT part that's not, it's not a moneymaker. I mean, it's not really beneficial to anybody except for the person whose computer's not working. Well, if I have that problem now, it happens very seldom. I just put in a support call and they take care of the problem. It's not me having to take time away to do that.
I agree with that. That tending to those servers was, I didn't realize it took so much, but yeah, it took a lot of time tending to the servers. But I also like, the second part I like is we have a corporate office, and that corporate office doesn't have to have VPN access every time they're installing users. So they got a big accounting group at corporate, and 10 users in the last few weeks or whatever. Yeah. So they can just install and go.
Yeah, no VPN access required. Yeah, that's great.
I think I pretty much echo what they said. You know, the fact that we don't have an IT group makes cloud almost essential for us. So that's been my favorite part, is just not having to worry about anything. If I need a database copied or if I want to replicate it, I put in a ticket and it's you know, taken care of.
Audience question regarding the type of implementation. Did you do it as a big bang or were there phases? What lessons did you learn from the implementation?
Oh, boy. I think that the biggest lesson we learned was probably on, we thought we trained our users well enough, and it seemed as though there was always some kind of gap between them. And I think the other piece where we in particular probably could have done a better job of was explaining to the users how their data was going to be flowing through the system. So as an example, on my earlier example, when they made inventory movements, we now saw financial impacts. When they do receiving transactions, we're seeing financial impacts. So as an example, one person did a PO for 12 months worth of services at the same price from a certain vendor. Well, before it was no big deal. Accounting would just see the invoice and we would put it into the system and expense it. Now we needed to receive it. So someone went to the receiving guy and said, hey, I need you to receive this line. Well, it's not his fault. He doesn't realize he's receiving 12 months worth of stuff all at once. And so he receives it. And then we see this, you know, big old line when I go to do the capture and post. And, you know, we kind of have to explain that. So those types of learning curves, I kind of wish we had done a little bit better of a job of explaining that to people. But I suspect that even if we did that, there would have been some other gap.
That was a good question. Any other lessons learned post go live?
Training is very important.
Training.
Definitely.
Because just like he said, some people think, well, I'm doing inventory. Well, all I'm doing is fixing the count. Well, you're fixing the count, but you're also putting in a cost. Well, training them to understand their flow is more than just right here. You know, my production manager beforehand, he didn't understand all the costs. When I'm saying, don't bring all that material in at one time, it's cash flow. He's like, well, I got all the material here, so whenever I need it, I have it. Yep, now let's look what else you can't buy. You know, so training them to understand, part of it's just business, but then what you're putting in wrong can affect somebody else. So training is huge.
Good points.
Audience question. What speed of internet connection do you need in order to run?
Yes. I got redundant now. We got fiber going in. At the very beginning, I couldn't get redundant in quick enough before we went. It went down. And I think I had it early down, and it was Epicor. Because you can go onto the cloud, there was a spot, it'll tell you it's down, and in the Americas, it was down in 10 minutes, maybe. I haven't had a lot of downtime because of Epicor. I had the downtime once because we didn't have the redundant line in, but as far as true downtime, I can count on, well, since 17, I don't know how many years that is at this point, but a handful of times that we've been down because of Epicor. It's added up to an hour, maybe.
Yeah. Status@epicor.com is where you can go to see that.
Yeah. So if anything's going wrong, we're like, well, we're going to check there first. You know, first I used to email Matt, what's going on? Well, and Matt's finally like, go to this page and figure it out yourself if it's you or me. And it was usually us. So we restart our computer and off and running, but we haven't had hardly any problems at all.
And if anyone needs help with the redundant internet connection, it's a part of the Epicor security suite. It's one of the offerings, but...
We're on fiber as well, and we've only had one down. That's it. Yeah, I think they had it back up in about 20 minutes or so.
Okay, so the question is, how would you integrate? And we do have the REST APIs, and then you're saying Power BI specifically. Mm-hmm. We have a production environment copy that's a read-only. It's available as one of the services with the select package. And so you could just add that. And that's one of the recommended ways that we encourage you to use BI tools. You could also use Grow. It's included with the purchase of a Kinetic SaaS. So you could use Grow as the business intelligence tool, but Power BI, Tableau, others could be used with this production environment copy.
Audience question. If there is an issue, an outage in the middle of the night, do you reach out to Epicor? What is the response time?
It's pretty fast response time. They sent me a data fix now that I'm able to go in and stop that task and restart it. But we generally don't find out because it's running at, 11, 12 o'clock at night. Okay, so we might come in some mornings and find that it's still going. It's kind of stuck. Yeah.
All right. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, everyone. Really appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. That was a live session featuring three manufacturing leaders, Purvesh Sheth, the controller at Pivotal Comware, Don Johnson, the ERP manager at Atlanta Attachment Company, and David Boyer, the president of Boyer Machine and Tool. Thank you so much to them, and thank you for listening. You can learn more about the solutions you heard today at epicor.com. Many thanks to my guests, of course, and thank you all for listening and for being a part of the future of manufacturing.
Thank you for listening to Manufacturing the Future, brought to you by Epicor. For the latest episodes, search for the show on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure to subscribe to get notified when a new episode is released. To learn more about Epicor, visit epicor.com.